That make sense? Sometimes we don't think words mean a whole lot, and they do. Unfortunately, many of us were raised with a saying that is so untrue. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, right? Stupid. Whoever said that was stupid. Words do hurt. Words can be powerful, and words can save someone. Isn't that true? And so, forgive me for making this a big point, but I firmly believe this. The language that comes out of our mouth will ultimately reveal what's in our heart or what's not in our heart. And so words are important. As we go forward on this, the Bible reaffirms this concept. And if you don't believe me, you can read it for yourself. Let's go to John chapter 1. I want to explore this with you because I really believe this is a word for today. Let me read it through for you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was who? God. And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you catch that? There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist, or the baptizer, however you want to call him. They came as he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He came himself, not the light. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming unto the world. He was in the world, and the world that was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May God add his blessing to the Word. You know, as we look at this, and we continue to look at this passage, let me just go back. Can it be easier for you, Em, to bring me back to verse 1? Okay, and I'll take it from there. We all agreed that words can reveal the heart of a person. Isn't that true? This passage tells me that the living Word, Jesus Christ, came to reveal the person of God, the Father, to you and me. And not only to reveal him, but to reveal his love for us and reveal his purpose for us. So I want you to look at some of the characteristics. Jesus has many names in the Bible, all right? The Word is one of those names. In the beginning, now, we think finite, especially here in our Western culture, we think the beginning means at some point in time, Jesus came into being. The original language here says, you can think as far back as humanly possible, but he was still there. He was always. And he will always be. So he was always the Word, and the Word was in fellowship with God. The Word in fellowship with the Father. And the Word was in fact God. And we scratch our heads, at this language because to this day the thought of the Trinity, three in one, really baffles us. It should, but it's the truth. That God the Son and God the Father, the living Word of God, had fellowship, perfect fellowship together for all eternity, and still do. He was with God in the beginning, so he was eternal. But the Word is God. In your hands, if you have your Bibles today, if you don't, shame on you. In this country, we still have the liberty to own our Bibles and have the very Word of God in our hand. Not only that, we still have the liberty, and it may not last long, we still have the liberty to come and worship the living Word, Jesus Christ. The Word that we hold in our hand is God's love letter to us. Do you ever think of it that way? That's the whole purpose of the Bible, is to show you how much He loves you. His eternal love letter to us. The Word reveals the power of God and of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because through the Word, through Him, through Jesus Christ, all things were what? All He did was speak, and they were made out of nothing. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. How many of you just took a breath? You better thank your Creator you just took that breath. Not only did He create us, but He sustains us. Not only does He sustain us, but He has everything planned out for us. And not only that, He's the source of life. Without Him, none of us would be here. Without Him, none of us would continue to be here. He is the source of life. Not only is He the source of life, but He is the true light in this sin-darkened world. If you had the unfortunate experience of putting the news on this morning, you will have heard that someplace in New York, a 13-year-old was arrested for killing another young person. MS-13, gang-related. A 13-year-old. You will hear every day of people hurting other people in some way. Families breaking apart. You will hear of churches closing, unfortunately. You will hear of a lot of darkness in this world. The reason why there's darkness in this world is because of man's sin and rebellion against God. I want to say that again. And the reason why I want to say that again is because God all too often gets a bad rap. When something bad happens, we say, why does God do this? Well, He didn't do it. Sinful people did it. Well, could have God stopped it? Maybe. But you know, one thing I know about God is that He lets us endure the consequences of our actions. Always has, always will. Sometimes, and especially at Christmas time, we want a Jesus who will give us what we want, when we want it, how we want it, whether we need it or not. I crack up with these car commercials. You let me know if you wake up on Christmas Day and there's a Mercedes under your tree. I hope there is for you. Two of them. His and hers, right? You let me know. You let me know if that happens. But you know, I say that kind of jokingly, but we treat God like that sometimes. We treat the living Word like that. We say, you exist for me. And we have it backwards. He created us to have a relationship with Him, to love Him because He loved us first, and to serve Him and others. That's why He created us. By and large, in North America, generally speaking, We have created, and I'm going to use the term here, Maria can correct me if I'm using it out of context, but I believe, by and large, we have created a narcissistic culture, old and young. You know what narcissism is?
Caring about yourself only.
And we mask it. We mask it in many ways. We mask it through our words. We try to manipulate people to get what we want. And sometimes using good words. But ultimately finds ourselves out. There's darkness in this world. You may be wrestling with darkness today. Because sin brings darkness. Unconfessed sin brings darkness to a life. The only answer to the darkness is Jesus Christ. He's the only answer. We're going to find that out. You know why? Because look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not what? I'm going to read this literally as it would come from the original language. It would say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot conquer it. Cannot conquer the light. Huh. A lot of you know that I have a science background. I was pre-med in school, and I used to subscribe to Scientific American. Really fascinated me. And years ago, there were a team of scientists who wanted to prove that light had dual properties. Light had the property of energy and matter. All right? And they did it using a laser. And I'll tell you how they did it. It's really ingenious. You know what a laser is, right? Scientists took a pearl, and they took a laser, and they were able to suspend a pearl in midair, which proved light was not only energy, but it was matter, because it could support the pearl. It's a really fascinating thing, if you ever want to read it. And, you know, you're sitting here saying, okay, here's the science geek going off again. But think of it. God's light has two properties. The light will shine to reveal sin in our lives, if we allow God to do that. How many of you took biology in school, high school? How many of you ever had a look at water under a microscope? Okay. You couldn't see all the organisms in that water unless there was a bright light there, correct? All right? Light can reveal a lot. Light will reveal our sinfulness. But it has another property too. Light will give life through forgiveness in what Jesus did on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. You see, he's got two properties. It reveals the very purpose and character of God and Jesus Christ himself. I want to go on with this. We're going to skip over John the Baptist for a second. Go to verse 9. It says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The light's available to all. Available to all. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. You know the story. Hasn't changed, though. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. On Sunday, we're supposed to come and worship. And sometimes, still to this day, there are many people who are religious who still haven't met the light of the world, who still have not come to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith and repentance, who believe, unfortunately, but the only way to have a relationship with God is to do a whole bunch of good works and see if that's okay, never being sure. What this is saying is that even though Jesus came into the world, the religious people didn't recognize him. They just went on with business as usual. Here's why. Because of their own pride, their own ego, and their own sinfulness. He says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But he doesn't leave us there. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed, to those who came to faith, knowing that he is the Messiah, the light of the world, that he is the one who gave us life, that he is the Holy One, that he is the only hope you and I have for forgiveness and new life, a new purpose. He says, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, born not of natural descent. Joseph wasn't his natural father. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit from above, nor of human decision. The poem that Jim read for you before, I mean, this brings us out. We didn't just decide to say, okay, Jesus is the light of the world. No, that was determined long ago by God the Father and God the Son. Nor was it a husband's will that he was born, but born of God. Every one of you here who has come to a point of receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is born of God. That's what the Bible means when it says you are born again. One of my favorite hymns says, born to give men second birth, supernatural birth that only comes through the Father and belief in the Son and what he did on the cross. The Word became flesh. On that Christmas, whenever, what day was, I have no idea. Whether it was December 25th or November 2nd or who knows. We don't know the exact day. Doesn't matter. The Word became flesh. It moved into the neighborhood. You know what he did? He lived among us. He lived with us. He knows what we go through. He identified with us. He was the Messiah, the one who lived sinlessly among us. But there's a crucial question I want to ask today. And the question is this. Not only does he live among us, we know the Christmas story, but does he live in you? Does he dwell in you? And if the answer to that is yes, great. The second part of the question is, are you struggling with something where you need to invite the light of Jesus Christ into that area? That's a different question, isn't it? Whatever you're struggling with, sin, disappointment, whatever it is, will we say, okay, Lord Jesus, you're in my heart. Shine your light in this area. Show me what I need to know so I can learn from this, so I can learn more about you, so I can make the decisions that I need to make going forward that would honor you, that would honor you. John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I can tell you this. I made a statement before that Jesus is still speaking to us. He speaks in the principal way he speaks to us is through his word. If you're here and you've mastered this today, and you say you have mastered it, I would say you're lying. We're never going to master this fully, are we? But here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that after today, some of us might just close this up and put it aside. Maybe come back tomorrow for candlelight, because candlelights are nice. Not open this up again till maybe after one Sunday in January. God speaks to us through Christ also in prayer. And that still small voice, in those times alone, I see more and more people trying to run away from issues rather than facing them with the light of the world. Will we invite Jesus into those dark areas of our lives? And the question even goes beyond that. The question is, when we do, will we obey him? In the power of the Holy Spirit, will we obey him? He dwelled among us. He dwells in us for those who have trusted him as personal Lord and Savior. He comes full of grace. You and I don't deserve this. We don't deserve to be saved. And yet he offered it to us. Full of grace and truth. Sometimes I want to scream. Do you ever feel that way? You know, years ago, before Berkeley Island got destroyed, I used to go walk around the island, and people must have thought I was nuts, because I would be talking to God. I would be talking to God. And the reason why I'm telling you this is simply this. If we continue to ignore, even as believers, if we continue to ignore God's love letter to us, his word to us, if we don't have the relationship where we can go and once in a while just let it all out and say, Lord, I'm confused. I need your guidance. I need your glory. Let me give you a simple test in all of this. When you encounter a problem, how many of you pick up the phone and tell somebody else about it rather than going to God first? It's a simple test. And by the way, when there's problems, it's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is go to be with your Father. The best thing you can do is let him tell you what to do. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, be obedient. The greatest gift of all of love the Father ever can give to us is God, his only Son, so that you and I might come to know God in a personal relationship. So just two questions to reiterate this morning. Have you come to a place in your life where you know that your sins are forgiven and you would like to know and have a new relationship with God through faith? He came to earth to die for your sin and mine. He came to take the full wrath of God for our rebellion and sin. In love, he bore the full wrath of God in my place and in your place. And listen, if you're sitting here this morning, you say, I know this already. I hope it never gets old. Because there's nobody who will love us more than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody who is willing to die for us and to take on my sin. No one is even qualified but the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second question, if you already have a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, will you let the light of the word explore every area of our life? Sometimes we like to keep secrets from God. Sometimes we don't want to let him in certain areas. Let me suggest, and we're all guilty of it, let me suggest to you that God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to let him in every area of our life, our family, our education, our relationship as husbands and wives, our relationships in the neighborhood. He wants us to be involved in every area of our lives. In this way, with the help of the Spirit, we can allow God to help us become more like our Savior each and every day. I hope this is not just another normal Christmas. I hope it's a Christmas where we can reflect on the light of the world. I hope this is a Christmas where we can give thanks to the grace of God in our lives. I hope this is a Christmas where we can not get caught up in the craziness of trying to get everything done. But I hope this is a Christmas we'll be able to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know what? A lot of you will be preparing meals, and it takes a long time to prepare food and meals, and it's over in 10 minutes. Right? Usually? We rush. We even rush through eating. We rush through everything. We want to get to the presents. And that's okay. Let's get the presents dessert. Our words reveal a lot, don't they? How about just being still and knowing that Jesus is my Savior, that He is my Lord, that without Him, I wouldn't even be here today, that without Him, none of us would be here today, that through Him and faith in Him, I have hope to face every day, no matter if there's a government shutdown, no matter if the stocks plummet, no matter if someone in the family is giving you problems, no matter if whatever it is, I can face every day with the light of the world. Do we believe it? Will we ask the Holy Spirit to help us live that way? There's the miracle of Christmas. One of my favorite songs, it's not biblical, it's not scriptural, and it's not Rudolph. One of my favorite songs is The Little Drummer Boy. Right? I can relate to that. I'm not a drummer. I do my best. I'm not a drummer. But I can tell you this, that whenever I do that or do the keyboard or whatever role I play, I do it for Him. In your marriage, you'd be a good wife and a husband for Him. In school, you're a good student to bring glory to Him. Among your friends, you maintain your testimony, your love for Jesus Christ for Him. So if I come across anybody cutting school, you will hear from me. And I usually catch people, by the way. I was notorious for that. Now, I usually catch people. If I correct you in your language, you're going to know why. If I correct you in your attitudes, I'm not doing it as self-righteous. But I do know this, and it applies to me too. My words will reveal what's in my heart. And my actions, if they're not consistent with the words, you will know about it. And so will I. Let's pray.